I just need to review because I wasn't sure, and I think I wrote down things that were not clear. The basic minimum is just the rock bottom is to say a tefillah with shevach, bakasha, and hodah. That's the
minimum of what of is the called minimum. The obligation of tefillah. But there are other things. I mean, for example, I mean, just like you have to say Asher Yatzar in the bathroom. I mean, these things you have to say.
Right. Okay. That's beside Asher Yatzar, not only to let you die.
Right.
Okay. But if you go beyond that, if you go beyond the basic minimum.
Right.
Now, do you say then the next step up is Berachot HaTorah, or the next step up are the... if we're looking
breakfast.
At are the morning brachos and what are you talking in are the you know the brachot Asher Natan L'Sech V'Bina. What if you're going to the next step, what's the next step beyond the, I mean, you say the basic minimum is Modani Asher Yatzar, Asher Yatzar,
right,
and Al-Natilat Yadayim and Asher Yatzar,
and the
basic prayer with Shevach Bakasha,
right,
and Hadar. If you're going the next step is Berachot HaTorah, or the next step is saying Asher Natan L'Sech V'Bina.
Well, Berachot HaShachar, if we have to make a choice, Berachot HaShachar.
Now, Berachot HaShachar are just the brachos?
Berachot HaShachar is the list of the short brachos that begin Asher Natan L'Sech V'Bina. And they end with Gomel Chasadim Tovim Lamo Yisrael. That is a unit that is called Birchos HaShachar. And as I mentioned before, the Birchos HaShachar as a whole, or the last Birchos HaShachar in particular, one can fulfill the minimum obligation of tefillah as well.
Now the last Birchos HaShachar is which one?
What are all the preliminaries? These are preliminaries.
Now, when you say the last Birchot HaShachar, you can pull. Does that mean Yehi Ratzon is the last Birchot? Which one do you pull?
Okay, Birchot HaShachar begins. Birchot HaShachar means morning brachas. Birchot HaShachar begins with Asher Nastan L'Sech V'Bina, that he is given. And it ends. The last Birchas HaShachar begins with Birchas Hashem Okim Ochlam HaMavir Shena Me'enai. He has taken sleep away from my eyes, Usnuma Mi'afakai, and drowsiness from my eyelids. And then there's a paragraph, Yehi Ratzon. Now the Yehi Ratzon is not a separate bracha. The Yehi Ratzon is part of that last bracha. That's why you don't say Amen after HaMavir Shena Me'enai. You do not answer Amen because the Yehi Ratzon is immediate. And that goes until Baruch Atah Hashem Gomel Chasadim Tovim Lamo Yisrael. That is the end of the last bracha. That is the end of Birchos HaShachar. There are other things that are in the Siddur afterwards, but that is Birchos HaShachar goes from Hanotzei Nesach Vivina until Gomel Chasadim Tovim Lamo Yisrael.
So that's the last of Birchos HaShachar.
That is the end of Birchos HaShachar.
And in that bracha of Hagomel Chasadim Tovim Lamo Yisrael, that one incorporates all of that particular bracha.
Now, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky would say, and this makes sense, that last Birchos HaShachar, just the last Birchos HaShachar, which begins Hamavir Shena Me'enai, until the end of the paragraph Gomel Chasadim Tovim Lamo Yisrael, in addition to being one of the Birchos HaShachar, which it is, also incorporates within it all three elements that are necessary to fulfill a woman's obligation in prayer, according to the Rambam. Because again, the three components of prayer are praise, petition, and thanksgiving. And in that last bracha, you have prayer, praise, petition, and thanksgiving. So if a woman says all of the Birchas HaShachar, she has fulfilled the obligation of Birchas HaShachar, and she has, according to the Rambam, also fulfilled her obligation of prayer.
Now then the next step up would be to add the Birchot HaTorah.
Birchot HaTorah would be the next step up.
Mm-hmm.
Now the reason I call it the next step up is, see, you have to understand, what confuses people a lot is, you know, we look at davening as a unit. There's a sitter, there's davening. But the problem is there are many discrete obligations. There's a chiyuv called davening. There's a chiyuv called saying Birchos HaTorah. These are separate mitzvahs. Now, with Birchas HaTorah, there is an argument among the commentators whether women are chayavas at all to make the blessings over the Torah. The Vilna Gaon says women do not have to make the blessings over the Torah because women do not have a mitzvah of learning Torah.
Uh-huh. Right.
The Shulchan Aruch, however, says... Yeah, I'll finish the sentence. I'll, yeah, okay.
Paradigms don't have to use Shem and Masha in any of those
lessons.
Women are not
Chayabes. Right, that's,
that is
true.
There is a book for women.
Right.
And it gives you all these exceptions.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You're not using the Shem and
Masha. Right, but it for what? But for
the...
well...
Because we are not Chayabes either.
I understand that, but I have to see your sitter. I would assume that for Birchas HaTorah you say Shema Malchut. I would assume because the Shulchan Aruch rules that women have to say Birchas HaTorah. In other words, they eliminate God's name for those things like the blessings before the Shema, whatever, that women don't have to say. But Birchas HaTorah, the Shulchan Aruch says yes, but the Vilna Gaon says no. Now, therefore,
one second.
Yeah.
You said there's two chiyuvim, one of davening, and did you say the other chiyuv is one of saying Birchas HaTorah or Limud HaTorah?
No, there is a chiyuv saying Birchas HaTorah.
Okay.
The question is whether the chiyuv of Birchas HaTorah is connected to the mitzvah of learning Torah.
Mm-hmm.
The Vilna Gaon says the obligation of reciting the blessings of the Torah is connected to the obligation of learning the Torah. Again, you understand, I mean, I know we've talked about it before. When we say women don't have to learn Torah, that doesn't mean what it says. Again, you have to be a little bit legalistic here. There are two reasons why Jews learn Torah. One is because learning Torah teaches us how to keep all our commandments. If we wouldn't learn Torah, we wouldn't know how to keep the mitzvahs. We wouldn't know what a Jew should believe. We wouldn't know how to live our lives as a Jew. That dimension of learning Torah, of course, women have to do it just as men. If a woman doesn't learn the Torah, a woman is not going to know what it means to be a Jew. So clearly, women have that obligation just like men. However, there's a second dimension in Talmud Torah in which Talmud Torah is not only a means to living as a better Jew, which it is, of course, but Talmud Torah is intrinsically a mitzvah, meaning to say, even if a person is learning a portion of the Torah that has no relevance to practical life, nevertheless there is a mitzvah. Now that particular mitzvah is a mitzvah that devolves only upon men and not upon women. If women want to learn, certainly they're able to do so, but the mitzvah of learning things that don't have any bearing on how one lives one's life, that is a chiyuv of Talmud Torah, not as a means, but as an end. So women are technically exempt from that. That's Talmud Torah.
What about Kabbalah? Why do women are not allowed to study Kabbalah?
Says they're not?
Talmud, not Kabbalah.
Well, this is related to it. Well, first of all, women are not allowed to study. I mean, there are many, many opinions on that. But the basic idea is that women are not obligated, to study portions of Torah that have no bearing directly on how one lives as a Jew. Of course, keep in mind that most of the Torah does have a bearing on how one lives as a Jew, and therefore most of the Torah would...
Do you teach Talmud?
I do.
I
don't consider it, you know, my life's ambition to, you know, put ads in the Jewish Week about it, but I mean, if any... I mean, it's not an agenda item for me. But anyone who wants to come and learn is always free to come and learn. There's no question.
Rather,
anyway,
going back to the minimum optimal,
let me just finish because when questions come in one after
you're
the
right.
other.
The Torah is then part of the Torah.
I talked about learning of Torah. Now,
okay,
making a blessing over Torah, those are Birchos HaTorah, right? We have three blessings. Actually, there are two blessings, but it looks like three blessings that are recited every day before one learns Torah. Now the question is the following. The Vilna Gaon takes the position that women are not obligated at all to recite those blessings over the Torah. And the reason he says that is that the blessing over the Torah is a blessing over the commandments. to study Torah. And since women are not intrinsically bound by the commandment of the studying the Torah, they therefore do not recite the blessings over the Torah. This is the Vilna Gaon's opinion. The Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that women are obligated to recite the blessings over the Torah every day. Why? Because although they are not obligated to study Torah in and of itself, but since they are obligated to study the mitzvos that apply to their lives, they have an obligation of Torah, and therefore they recite the blessing. The custom is that it is proper to follow the view of the Shulchan Aruch that women do recite Birchas HaTorah. However, since there are some opinions that say they don't, that's why I would not rank it. In other words, if you had a choice between the morning brachos or the blessings over the Torah, it would appear that the recitation of the morning brachos would have precedence over the recitation of Birchas HaTorah, because we have the opinion of the Vilna Gaon that exempts women from Birchas HaTorah. Okay, that is the basis of the hierarchy that we're making. Okay. Now, as I say, however, if a person could say it, a person should say the blessings over the Torah. Now, in the Birchas HaTorah, if you'll note, I think I mentioned this last time, right after the blessings over the Torah, you say a few things. You say, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Hashem should watch you and guard you. And then you mention, these are the things that have no limit, etc. That is not part of the blessings over the Torah, but rather the concept is this. Just as when you make a shahakol over water, you're supposed to drink water right away, you're not supposed to interrupt, so when you recite the blessings over the study of the Torah, you want to study some Torah. Now, it doesn't have to be this, it could be anything. But for various reasons, we incorporate the blessing that the Kohanim give, because it's good, Hashem should bless you and give you peace, that's a nice pasuk. And we discuss a Mishnah. Actually, the two paragraphs are two Mishnayos in Tractate Peah that deals with the great reward that Hashem gives. And it emphasizes, of course, not just acts of loving kindness, but it emphasizes Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, that the study of Torah is the greatest of all mitzvahs, which, of course, is very appropriate to say after you recited Birchas HaTorah. But you don't have to say that. I mean, you might as well say that. But if you're saying Birchas HaTorah, the point is you have to do some learning of Torah right after you say the Birchas HaTorah. And this is just illustrative. By the way, I would make the point that it is interesting that, you know, we combine here Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, and the oral Torah, because Yivarechecha is from the written Torah, it's a pasuk, and the Mishnah is from the oral Torah. And it's interesting that the commentaries bring down there's a difference between how one fulfills the mitzvah of learning from the Torah Shebichsav and from the Torah Shebaal Peh. That is, the Torah Shebichsav, I can fulfill Talmud Torah even if I don't know what I'm saying. In other words, the words themselves, if I read the words of Torah, I have fulfilled some commandments. But the oral law, there is no mitzvah unless you understand what you're saying. So to read a Mishnah and not know what it's saying does not count for anything. And therefore, of course, you have a translation. All I'm saying is that to the extent you are reading a Mishnah or the like to fulfill the commandment, or at least to learn some Torah in conjunction with the blessings over the Torah, you should be sure that you, it's a good idea anyway, but you be sure to understand the Mishnah that you're studying.
I have a question pertaining to that and davening in particular language. I think you once told us that it is preferable to daven in Hebrew. But the question is, what if, I mean, I know that when I daven the Yantif davening, I always daven simultaneously, the English and the Hebrew, even though I understand Hebrew better than a lot of people. But I still daven simultaneously.
When you say daven simultaneously, you mean you say English or you look at the translation?
I look at them both. I never, if I don't understand what I'm saying, tefillah doesn't have meaning to me.
I understand,
per se,
what are you articulating?
Sometimes if I can't follow the Hebrew at all, I'll articulate the English. Mm-hmm. Even though I know that it's preferable to do it in Hebrew, but I can't you know, if I have a choice of not understanding or understanding what I'm saying, then I'd rather understand what I say. But it's not.
Well,
it's
you
not
are Yotze. There's no question that one fulfills their obligation of tefillah in English. There's no question one fulfills that mitzvah. I'll tell you an interesting question. What happened with the art scroll? This happened in Eretz Yisrael. This was raised as a question. Somebody was called up for an aliyah to the Torah, and the person didn't know how to read Hebrew, so he just read the art scroll translation. He was called up, so he says, "Blessed art you, Hashem, King of the universe." That's how they translate. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, Hashem is not God's name. You could say, "Blessed art you, God," but Hashem itself is not a shame of Hashem. Hashem just means the name. And therefore, he was not Yotze. Somebody actually sent in that they should correct this, because people who are davening in the English translation do not fulfill the obligation of reciting Hashem's name in prayer if you just say Hashem.
But it does say our God. So
that's Elokeinu, though. You have to have Lord or whatever. How would they translate? Blessed art you, Lord, our God.
Mm-hmm. And that would be you'd Yotze then if you said Lord our God.
Yeah, because that's a term of for God, but Hashem itself is not a term.
And why is it preferable? Why? I mean, if you had the choice of the two, of saying in Hebrew, if you could articulate it and not understand it, it's still better to say it in Hebrew and not understand what you're saying. Given the time, especially somebody who has difficulty with Hebrew, the time that it takes to say it in Hebrew, is it better not to understand what you're saying?
No, it's better to understand, but it's also better to do it in Hebrew at the same time. In other words, with the translation or a mitzvah sitter or something. The reason is because the Hebrew words have many, many meanings, and a translation only picks up, you know, one meaning, one nuance. There's no way a translation can pick up, you know, all of the possible meanings of the words, especially since we're dealing with Kabbalah. Even the number of words of the tefillah, the letters, all of this is built in a tremendous significance. So one is certainly Yotze, but with translations and the like, I think a person should try it. If a person is able to read Hebrew, even if they don't understand it, a person should be able to go back and forth. You know.
I think it's good for someone, even if she doesn't understand Hebrew, if she puts your heart into it, if she has a lack of kavanah, even if you don't understand it, Hebrew.
Kavanah, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, there can be generic kavanah. I mean, for example, you can have kavanah of standing in front of Hashem. You can have kavanah that you're. They even have famous Hasidic stories about the child who didn't know how to read, so he just recited the Aleph Beis and kind of gave it to a God. I mean, there is a kavanah that can go beyond the particular meaning of the words too.
Doesn't it depend on the individual also standing in prayer? Because prayer is a very individual thing. And for one person can have the heart of a chassid, you know. One has the pure heart of a misnagid, you know.
In addition to that, if you keep
a pill the flowers up in English and common and double in Hebrew, or your heart.
I do.
In addition to that, if you keep davening in English, you may not ever learn Hebrew.
You better
learn Hebrew. It's better to daven in Hebrew and eventually learn it than to keep speaking in English and never learn it, in my opinion.
But there are certain tefillos that you say, like tefillos tal, you know, the ones you say once a year, they're very difficult. Mm-hmm. Like those are a special category.
God told me to.
Listen, no, this is not a woman's problem. I mean, this is a problem. I mean, how many men know tefillos tal? I mean, I can't say, I can tell you exactly what every word means at this point. But the answer is, you know, a person has to make time. That's really the point. The point of the person is to sit down with the sitter and look before the davening, you know, what you're going to say and what it means and what are the thoughts, and one should put some effort into it.
Why isn't there a requirement
Yamim Narayim, of course,
for a geyer to learn Hebrew? A person who's converting does not have to know Hebrew.
Well, it depends. When you say, are you asking in halacha or
halacha?
Yeah, some individual rabbis will in fact require it.
But
in halacha, there's no requirement. Uh-huh.
Why isn't there? Because it kind of ties them in more with Quran prayer.
I know, but the question would be, you know, the question would be, if somebody truly has the neshama of wanting to be part of the Jewish people, it may take so long. I mean, basically, you might be adding 2 years, 3 years. I mean, you might be adding a tremendous amount of time in which you'll be deprived of the ability to do mitzvahs.
Courses now. Learn Hebrew in four lessons.
No. Okay. Right. Sure.
Well, yeah, but it's not, you know,
in your dreams.
But most Geirim have done at least that. But they may not be fluent yet. But we would consider it to be unfair to take away the person's ability to do mitzvahs because they haven't yet attained that level.
Could you repeat again the catch up for Shabbos?
Okay. I will get to it. I just want to proceed in order, and I will get to the. I'll throw it open to any questions. I'll address your question. All right. So 1 second. So we've discussed. I think we've discussed what time you get up in the morning, assuming there are no crying babies that throw you off schedule or anything. We have all of these things that one says. Now let me explain something. There is a lot of stuff after the Birchas HaShachar. There are various things that are said. Some of them are very, very beautiful prayers. In fact, some of them are taken from the Rosh Hashanah davening. I don't know if you know, there's some paragraphs there that are taken from the Rosh Hashanah davening, and then there's the Shema there that's recited. But I want to emphasize that by and large, without disparaging the importance of it, by and large, from after Birchas HaShachar till Mizmor Shir Chanukas Abayis Tadavid, by and large, that is a fairly optional part of the Siddur. That, well, the Elul Devarim is the words of Torah that you say after Birchas HaTorah. Yeah. But after the morning. Yes. Well, that would suffice. But the custom is we want to say something both from the written Torah and the oral Torah. If you just say Yivarechacha, you are Yotze with Yivarechacha, but you've only said the written Torah, you didn't say the oral Torah. So the custom is you say something from the oral Torah as well. Now, everything else, the Korbanos, although again, Korbanos on one level are very important, but they can be subsumed in the Tefillah. Because since we say that Tefillah, either Shmon Esrei or the morning Brechos, takes the place of the Korbanos, in effect, one can fulfill the idea of korbanos, of sacrifices, through that. Again, I don't want to just through either Birchas HaShachar or through Shmon Esrei. You know, there's all of this stuff you don't.
You can fulfill your chiyah for korbanos through Birchas.
Through whatever, however you fulfill your obligation of tefillah.
I have a very practical question. I have heard men do this section. I can read 1,000 times faster than any of them. How do they ever do it?
How do they ever do it? Good question. I don't know.
And why doesn't anybody slow them down at this point?
Okay. Now, again, I don't want to disparage the importance of those sections, but I do want to emphasize that if one is of limited time, essentially that is a section that can be cut out almost in its entirety. This is, yep, I hope you have a sitter in front of you. That's everything from after Gomel Chasadim Tovim Lamo Yisrael. After that, all the way till Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabaisa. In the Art Scrolls, till page 54.
Okay. Are you doing the daily document or the Shabbos
document? Daily.
Well,
daily.
I'm doing daily. This applies to Shabbos too. So far it's the same. Okay. Now, the next section of the prayer, which begins from Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, and it goes until the end of Az Yashir, and on Shabbos it's a little bit longer, but the section is the same. That is a section that is called Psukei Dezimra. Right, this is its name on Shabbos and its name during the week. Now, Psukei Dezimra is an Aramaic psukim shel zemer. It simply means verses of praise. And the purpose of Psukei Dezimra is to serve as a preliminary meditation before we enter Shema and the Shemona Esrei. It's designed to, it's essentially praises of God. Most of it is taken from Tehillim. Az Yashir is taken from the Chumash. Hodu Lashem is taken from Divrei Hayamim. But by and large, it is from Tehillim. Shabbos, it's elongated with extra Mizmorei Tehillim. Now, Psukit is actually, Mizmor Shir actually is technically not part of Psukit Zimra. Psukit Zimra begins with Baruch Sha'amar, which is the blessing before. And it ends with the conclusion of Yishtabach, even on Shabbos. Nishmas is added, but Psukit Zimra is bracketed by a bracha before it, which is Baruch Sha'amar, and it is concluded with a bracha after it, which is Yishtabach. So from Baruch Sha'amar to Yishtabach, and this is true on Shabbos or the week, that is called Psukit Zimra. Now, well, Mizmor Shir is before Baruch Shamar, so technically that's an introduction to Psukit Zimra. But now Sfardim, as you know, they actually say Baruch Shamar after Hodu, because they put Baruch Shamar only before the Psalms. Hodu is not from Tehillim. But be it as it may, they say some things before Baruch Shamar. Now, the purpose of Psukit Zimra is to serve as a hakdama, as an introduction to tefillah, to prayer itself. Now the question is, let's take it both during the weekend on Shabbos, because this will be by and large the same. Are women obligated, assuming that they're not just doing the bare bones minimum, but again, as another level, are they obligated, or should they do Psukei Dezimra? So here, once again, as you would expect, if there's time, they should. Why? Because Psukei Dezimra sets up your ability to pray properly. In other words, prayer is Shemona Esrei. Psukei Dezimra is an introduction to Shemona Esrei, therefore you have it. Now here, however, it's very important to know, and this is true for men and for women, it's very important to know that Psukei Dezimra may be, I shouldn't say maybe, it can be, if necessary, it can be abbreviated, shortened, curtailed in order to enable you to catch up in your davening. Okay, Psukit Zimra can be curtailed. Now, let's first talk about it during the week, and then we'll go to Shabbos. The bare bones Psukit Zimra is the following: Baruch Sha'amar, which is the blessing before Psukit Zimra, must be said, and Yishtabach, which is the blessing afterwards, must be said. You can't, as it were, leave out the brachos. And then in the middle, you must say at least one of the chapters of Tehillim. You cannot fulfill Psukit Zimra unless you say at least one. Now, if you only have time for one, the one that should be said is Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha. So a minimal Psukit Zimra would be Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei, and then Yishtabach. No, Ashrei is the first one. Ashrei is if you only can say one, Ashrei is the first one that you say. They give you a different order? No, I'm not, you don't understand me. I'm not describing the order of how you say it. I'm saying if you have to skip. No, after Baruch Shema, then you go to Ashrei. This is if you have to skip. I'm not referring to how you say it. The way you say it normally is you follow your sitter. I'm not giving you a new order of how to say them. I'm giving you an order of skipping. Right. Now, if you can say two, we have a whole list. If you can say two, so you say Ashrei, and the next one would be the third Halleluka, which is Hallelujah Hashem Min HaShamayim. That's considered to be the second in sanctity. And generally speaking, after the Ashreis come all the Hallelukas. Those would be, generally speaking, the next. After the Hallelukas, you go a little backwards to Yehi Kavod. Okay, you see, basically, you add based on what you're able to do. Now, if you come to Shul and you anticipate you'll have time to say all of the Hallelukas and Yehi Kavod, then you go the order. You try to go in order. You don't kind of do one thing and then go backwards, then go back and forth. Uh-huh. However, if you anticipate you only have time for one, you do one. If you have more time, then sometimes we'll be going back. But the basic priority is Ashrei is number one. The Hallelujah Hashem Min HaShamayim is number two. Then the other Hallelukas basically would be your third element. Then Yehi Kavod would be your fourth. And then you go back to Hodu, going backwards. And then you would say the things at the end, Vayavarech David, and etc. Now, the point I want to make is, again, it's not necessarily important that you have a list of each exact one, but it is important that you get the central idea that fundamentally, in order to catch up in davening, one is not encouraged to do this, and it's not a good thing. It's not the best thing to do, but if one needs to daven with a minyan, for example, I want to catch up and daven Shemona Esrei with the congregation. That's the real justification for it. So one can shorten the Pesukim to Zimra. Now, there is an argument.
Can you come back to whatever you skipped?
Okay, now, there is an argument. Some say that once you skip, then you went on to Shemona Esrei, you don't make it up. Others say that you do make it up, and it is proper to make it up. And I want to emphasize, of course, you cannot make up, you know, Baruch She'amar or Yishtabach. You can make up Tehillim. You can always say the Psalms that you skip, and you can say the Shira of Az Yashir, you could say Vayavarech David, you could say everything that is the Tehillim, or that comes from the Chumash. But of course, Baruch She'amar, Yishtabach, they had to have been said then, and if they weren't said then, I'll discuss whether you could just not say them at all, you cannot say them later. Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach can only be said in their proper places because they are blessings, and a bracha cannot be recited if it's not in its proper place. Now let me emphasize too that on Shabbos, the only difference would be, number one, in the hierarchy of things, the Shabbos Tehillim would be subordinate because of the principle that Tadir v'she'eno Tadir. In other words, if you can only do one thing, you normally do that which is done every day before you do that which is only done sporadically. So when you're figuring out how many Tehillim I can say, the Shabbos, the extra Tehillim of Shabbos are only said after everything else was said. And also I want to emphasize that the blessing of Nishmas. Nishmas is essentially an elongated blessing of Yishtabach. In other words, Nishmas to Yishtabach, that's one long blessing. And therefore, Nishmas, just like Baruch She'amar and Yishtabach, have to bracket your Pesukei de Zimra, on a Shabbos or a Yom Tov, Baruch She'amar and Nishmas is what brackets your Pesukei de Zimra. Now, let me just go further. Let's say a woman comes so late that in order to daven with the congregation, she would be unable to even say Baruch She'amar, Ashrei, and Nishmas and Yishtabach, right? In other words, she can't even say that. Then it would be permitted for a woman, although not for a man, to basically skip all of Pesukei de Zimra, make it up later. Not Baruch She'amar or Yishtabach or Nishmas, but the Tehillim can be made up later. And just start with Shemona Esrei. In other words, a woman who comes in and the synagogue is davening Shemona Esrei, she would be permitted on Shabbos to begin with the Shemona. She does not have to begin with the Shema. Although I didn't get to that yet. I'm getting to that portion, but I just want to emphasize that Pesukei de Zimra, although it's a highly desirable portion of prayer for a woman to say, is something that can be left out in its proper place in order to have davening with the tzibur, or even during the week if time is very, very, very pressing. In a way, the Birchas HaShachar is of a higher rank than the Pesukei de Zimra, the morning blessings.
If you come in at Shemona Esrei, when you say you can't go backwards, if you stand Kedusha with everybody, can you go back then and start davening from the beginning and do it Baruch She'amar Yishtabach, if you are just answering the
Kedusha. Answering Kedusha is not putting you forward to Shemona Esrei. You're just answering the Kedusha. Then you can go back and daven what you were davening.
And since you have no chiyuv to daven with the minyan
it's not clear.
So that what is preferable to if let's say you walk in at the time of Shema and Shemona Esrei, to just start Shema and Shemona Esrei with the kahal, or to go back and make up your davening? What is preferable if you're intimating that there's some sort of chiyuv of davening along with the kahal?
Yeah, I would say it's preferable to daven with the congregation.
It is.
Which would not be true for a man. A man, because a man is not allowed to daven Shema until he's done Pesukei de Zimra and the blessings of the Shema. But a woman has less of an obligation in those things.
Now, if you start with Shema, with the kahal, But you're assuming that the woman has already said Brichot HaShachar, because that's her
obligation. Well, yeah, but she could say Brichot HaShachar later.
You can say
Brichot HaShachar can be said after that.
And Brichot HaTorah can also be said later?
Yes, but that has a complication I'll have to address.
So you're better off staying at home, let's say, Brichot HaShachar, and then wherever you come in, to start davening with the Kahal at that point.
Well, let me emphasize this. Let me just emphasize one point that people have to understand. Now, we talk about, certainly in halacha, the concept of davening with a minyan is a very important idea. And the truth, I said it's an important idea. Now, the truth is, it's a desirable thing even for women. The custom has been largely that married women tend not to go to shul during the week because of various commitments. But at least on Shabbos, it is a good thing to daven with a minyan. Now, let me explain something. When we use the word tefillah b'tzibur, prayer with a minyan, we mean one thing. We mean davening Shemona Esrei with a minyan. There is no reason to say Pesukei Dezimra with a minyan. There is no reason to say Shema with a minyan. The tefillah b'tzibur means when the tzibur davens Shemona Esrei, I should be davening Shemona Esrei with them. That is what tefillah b'tzibur is. So the point is not to skip Pesukei Dezimra so I'll say Shema with them. That's not important that I say Shema with them. The key is I want to be able to start the Shemona Esrei when they do Shemona Esrei. That's what you're looking for.
Are you allowed?
Nothing else is tefillah b'tzibur. Now there's another aspect, and that is, in addition to praying Shemona Esrei with the congregation, there's the notion of answering those things that are only said with a minyan. There's Kaddish, and there's Baruch Hu. That's another idea, too, which is important, but that you could answer wherever you are. You'd be able to answer those things.
Are you allowed to, Kaddosh, are you allowed to, if you're trying to catch up, are you allowed to...
Okay,
move?
So this depends on where you are. Okay, just in terms of answering, let me just suggest that for a few moments. You're davening something, and the chazan is saying Kaddish or Kedusha, Baruch Hu. Are you allowed to answer? So it all depends. If you're in Pesukei Dezimra, basically you answer everything. And when they say Kedusha, you stand up and you answer the Kedusha, right? Just like someone
you
who's
answer,
up there.
But can you move?
Can you move,
I mean,
during Kedusha? During
Can you jump?
Do you mean when people raise themselves when they say Kadosh, Kadosh?
Right.
Sure. If you're answering the Kedusha,
then you can, because I heard that you just answer, but you don't. You can't.
In what case? When you're
standing.
But what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you? It depends. What are you doing when they're doing?
I have not yet davened Shemona Esrei. I haven't started Shemona Esrei.
So you answer the... Well, where are you?
I mean, depends. I'm in Pesukei Dezimra.
If you're in Pesukei Dezimra, you answer exactly the way everyone else answers.
What about Shema?
If you're in Shema, then essentially you try to go to the end of a pasuk.
Uh-huh.
In other words, just go to three words till you finish a pasuk. And then, once again, you answer. But the thing is, you don't answer fully. You answer Yehei Shmei Rabbah. You answer Baruch Hu. And for Kedusha, you only answer the central verses of Kedusha. The central verses of Kedusha, you don't say Nekadesh. You don't say but you say Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakos. And you say Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimkamo. And you say Yimloch Hashem Liolam Elokayach Tzion. Those are the three core verses of Kedusha.
You stand with your feet together.
You stand up with your feet together, and you only answer those three core verses. That's if you're...
I think what you were referring to, if you come in, you're supposed to, and hear the saying Kedusha, you're supposed to stay immediately, you know.
Yes, but...
You're not supposed to move to...
Well, that's.
But I was talking about going up and down.
Oh, sitting
and
now, if you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei,
right, that's another.
Then the rule is, if you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you do not answer anything at all, but you stop while the Kedusha is being recited. You don't answer, but you don't continue davening.
If you're in the middle of what?
Shemona Esrei. You don't stop.
I'm at Modim.
If you're at Modim and they're up to Kedusha, you stop. Do not say anything. Mm-hmm. You listen to the Chazan saying Kedusha. You have intention that the Chazan is saying those words for you.
Okay.
And that is how you fulfill the Kedusha. but you do not say anything. You don't answer Amen, you don't answer Yehishmi Rabbi, you don't answer Baruch Hu. Now, once you finish the last blessing of Shmon Esrei, once you say, HaMevorech Es Amo Yisrael Bashalom, it is proper for you, although it's not always, I think the article sitter has it, it's proper for you to immediately say, Yihyu L'Ratzon. It is in addition to where it is at the end of a Lekai Netzor. You actually say it right after HaMevorech Es Amo Yisrael Bashalom, Yihyu L'Ratzon Imrei Fi. Right, may my words be of acceptance to you. And at that point, once you've said Hamavarech Es Moisel Bashalom and you Yul Ratzon, at that point you are now allowed to answer Amen, to answer Baruch Hu, to answer Kaddish, to say the whole Kedusha.
Then you go back to Elokai.
And then after the Kedusha, you then continue Elokai Netzor, etc. Okay, because once the Elokai Netzor is not part of Shmon Esrei. Elokai Netzor is what the Gemara calls Tachanunim. It is supplications that come after Shmon Esrei, and for that you're permitted to answer and everything else. Yeah.
Suppose you started Shmon Esrei with the sequel and everything, and you realize somehow you've made a mistake.
Right.
You didn't start
it
from tonight, or you didn't mention the rules.
Right, right.
Is it preferable to wait so that you can answer in the Kedusha, or to repeat, you know, start again? It's happened to me a few times.
Yeah, I'll tell you the halakha. A lot of people don't follow this, but the halakha is clear that if you're not going to begin Shmon Esrei with the congregation, see, if you're going to begin it with the congregation, then you should begin it even if you're going to daven much longer than the chazan. But if they've already begun Shmon Esrei and I come in the middle, I should not begin it unless I will be finished by the time the Chazan reaches Kedusha. So if I'm going to have to start again, it is better for me to wait. Now, what I then do is, when the Chazan begins, I should begin with the Chazan, try to say it word for word with the Chazan, and then when he says Kedusha, I can repeat the Kedusha as he repeats it. That's a principle that if you begin Shmon Esrei with the Chazan, when he says the Kedusha, you say the Kedusha. I also want to emphasize, you have to be careful, because when the Chazan finishes Kedusha, he says, instead of Atah Kadosh, although Sephardim say Atah Kadosh, but the Chazan will say L'dor V'dor Nagid V'lecha, and you should say that one instead of Atah Kadosh. You should say the blessing. And then you skip Atah Kadosh.
You say exactly what he says.
You say exactly what he
along
says.
Along with him.
Along with him. Right. But that's only if you began the Shemona Esrei with him.
Yeah. When you say Tefillah B'Tzibur Shemona Esrei,
right,
you mean all of Shemona Esrei, saying it silently with the Kahal, or just Kedusha?
No, I mean you try to begin the Shmon Esrei with the Kahal.
With the Kahal. So it is
even
preferable.
Though,
right. Now, let's say you started with Shmon Esrei.
Right.
Then you want, now, and you finish Shmon Esrei, they're taking out the Torah, you have the time between these aliyahs that they're going
right
on with 5,000 Mishaberach. So you, is it preferable then to go back to the sections, like, now you haven't said Shema.
I haven't discussed that part yet. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, but you said it's better to daven with the Kahal, and you said to go back.
Yeah.
Now, what do you go back to the basic minimum?
Yeah, I would say go back to the basic minimum at that point.
But you have to say it in order, right? You have to say it in order.
Because then you should say it in order.
You can
right,
say it in
right,
order.
Right.
So you'll say Baruch Shamar.
No. That you can't say anymore. Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach.
You cannot say
which are the blessings of Psuki de Zimra can be said only when Psuki de Zimra is preceding Shmon Esrei.
Okay, that's
if you skip them, you can make up the Tehillim.
The Tehillim and Shema.
And the Shema, but you cannot make up Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach.
But is it preferable to go back and make up?
I would say it is preferable. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there is no
between the you have to hear the reading of the Torah between
between ideas.
Yeah,
that yes, we try to do that because we say that the prayer of a congregation is more accepted than the prayer of an individual.
Rabbi,
so we try to have tefillah b'tzibur. Yeah.
Would it be proper to start Shmon Esrei during the kaddish? During the kaddish.
Which kaddish? You mean during the
that precedes the Shmon Esrei. If you're a slow davener.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Yeah, actually, it isn't. I'll tell you why. There's a special law.
Because the Kaddish that preceded, and since I want to say Kedusha with the Chazan, when the Kahal is doing.
I understand what you're saying. There's a special rule that says if one is in a minyan, one should not begin the Shemona Esrei before the minyan begins the Shemona Esrei, because that looks as if you don't want to daven with them, as if you're saying, I would rather be by myself. So that's, in fact, this is a problem, this is a problem that I encounter during the week. Because there are sometimes people who go to an early minyan, and they have to leave early, and they want to start davening Shemona Esrei early. They start, no one asks me, but the halacha is that if you're going to do that, you should leave the room. In other words, if I have to begin Shemona Esrei before the congregation, I should leave the room and begin Shemona Esrei. I should not begin Shemona Esrei early while there are other people who are davening. That's what it says. The angels ask each other, so it's as if you kind of
address. Doesn't matter if you go right, left, or left, right.
Well, they're different. They're different customs. They're different customs there. You know, but that's a custom. Yeah, that wouldn't
so
be.
What do you
that
do?
Be okay.
Right and left?
My custom is not to move them. I don't do either. But but there are different. There are different
in
how
they
move.
I never was told to move.
They're different. Yeah, there are different customs.
Like things you have to say with the minyan, like Barfu, Kaddish, and Kedusha. So which are the Kaddish ones? Are they Kaddish Gatam or the Kaddish?
Well, all Kaddish requires a minyan. No Kaddish is said without a minyan, but the Kaddishes that are obligatory, Kaddish Gatam is not obligatory. It's mainly the Kaddish that's in the prayers, the Chatzi Kaddish that is in various points, and the Kaddish Shalem that is at the end of davening. These are the Kaddishes that are required. The other Kaddishes are only said if there's a mourner. But any Kaddish that is said, even if there's no mourner, are the required Kaddishes. Yeah.
I just want to clarify catching up. So you come in, you've said the Shemona Esrei.
Right.
So you can catch up on Tehillah. You can't do Baruch Shamar.
Complicated it is when you come late.
Just dabbing at home.
Let me explain the halacha. Let me explain the halacha in reference to a man first, because a man, you know, has to say all these things. And let's say I forgot to say Birchas HaTorah, let's say, and I've already davened Shacharis. I've already done the whole thing. So what do I do about Birchas HaTorah? So here, the Gemara in Brachos says the following, that if a man has davened the whole davening and has not said Birchas HaTorah, he's not obligated to say it after davening. Why? Because the blessing before the Shema, what is the blessing before the Shema? Ahava Rabbah. Now the blessing of Ahava Rabbah talks about the great love that Hashem has given us by giving us the Torah. And therefore the Gemara says, Biddi Eved, if he has already said Ahava Rabbah, but did not say Birchos HaTorah, he is not obligated to say Birchos HaTorah afterwards, because he has fulfilled his mitzvah of Birchos HaTorah, giving gratitude to Hashem for the Torah, with the blessing of Ava Rabbah. But this depends. This is only going to be true if right after davening, he sits down and learns something. Because if he didn't learn something, then there was no Torah connection. Although you could say, well, what do you mean? What about the Shema? The answer is, but the Shema was not recited for learning purposes, and therefore that doesn't count. Now, what that would mean for a woman, therefore, it really depends on my next question. That is to say, if the woman did say, Ahava Rabbah, in other words, when you ask me, can I make up Birchas HaTorah? It depends. If what she didn't skip was Ahava Rabba, then indeed she would be in the same situation as the man and would not have to say Birchos HaTorah. However, if the woman skipped, which gets me to my next section really, if she didn't say the blessing of Ahava Rabba, then Birchos HaTorah can be made up afterwards. Okay, so whether Birchos HaTorah should be made up afterwards depends on whether she had said the blessing of Ahava Rabba. That's why it's a little complicated. But the Baruch Sha'amar and the Yishtabach cannot be made up afterwards because they are brachos that are said only when the Psukei Dezimra were positioned before the Shemone Esrei.
I have a question about...
Yeah, I think Marilyn wanted to ask you a question first. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Right. They begin. Right. No, let me explain. You keep on davening your Shemone Esrei until the Chazan reaches the Kedusha. Once the Chazan reaches the Kedusha, you stop and listen only for the duration of the Kedusha. You know what the Kedusha is? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once the Chazan finishes the Kedusha, and you don't answer Amen, you just listen, and then he continues the repetition, you then resume your Shemone Esrei.
Okay.
That's even for Rosh Hashanah, yeah. I mean, the Kedusha, yeah, but the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah is not any longer than the regular Kedusha. In other words, yeah, with all the piyutim, you don't stop for those. You continue davening, and when the Chazan gets the Kedusha, you stop and listen to the Kedusha, same thing.
Right. I hear many people that they leave and they don't pay attention.
Well, yeah, sure, absolutely. It says that if there are not nine people who are paying attention, it's a blessing in vain because you have to have a minyan for repetition of Shemoneh Esrei. But, the Shulchan Aruch even says one is not allowed to learn, although, again, there are leniencies for those. But certainly, one is not allowed to talk. The language of the Shulchan Aruch is Gadol Avono Minso, the sin of a person who talks during the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei, is a sin that is too big to bear.
Who's sick is it during Kedusha?
Didn't hear you.
Who's sick is it?
Okay, it's a good question. I mean, the original custom of Chazaras HaShatz was for the benefit of people who did not know how to read Hebrew or didn't know the prayers, and the Chazan would repeat the whole Shemoneh Esrei for the benefit of people. Now, the question then becomes... That's right. Now, the question becomes, today, everyone comes in and davens on their own. Is there any point in the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei? But Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal, used to say that there is a point to it. He says there are two different things. There are two elements of what is called tefillah b'tzibur, prayer. There is the prayer of the individual within the congregation, and then there is the collective prayer of the congregation. When I daven my private Shemoneh Esrei in a minyan, that is called tefillah b'tzibur. My prayer is in the congregation. But then he says there is something called tefillas hatzibur, the prayer of the congregation, of which the chazan is a representative. And in effect, one is fulfilling a different element of prayer that way. And that is why, if you know any of the Maimonides students and the like, they're very, very strict. They treat Chazaras HaShatz. They will stand with their feet together. Even a lot of the women will stand with their feet together for the entire repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei because they regard this as a Shemoneh Esrei, as it were. Okay, again, our custom is not to do that, but this is why there's Chazaras HaShatz.
And if you miss this portfolio,
well, if you miss it, so you're missing that... Well, again, if you're able to read yourself, you cannot fulfill your Shemoneh Esrei by listening to the Chazan. What I'm saying is it was made for people who didn't know how to read. It wouldn't apply today. And that's why we don't have Chazaras HaShatz in Maariv, if you ever wonder. I mean, we have a repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei Shachris and a repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei Mincha. Why don't we have a repetition of Shemoneh Esrei? Because if you remember, I mentioned last week that originally the Maariv prayer was an optional prayer. And therefore, the Chachamim weren't overly concerned about the people who were unable to daven Maariv because it was optional anyway. So even when it became an obligation because of Minhag, they did not enact Chazaras HaShatz. Although the one thing is, Friday nights, if you notice, in Shul, Friday nights, the Chazan repeats an abbreviated form
of Shemona Esrei. That is kind of a repetition of the Shemona Esrei from Ma'ariv. He combines in one blessing, it's Magen Avos, he combines the three blessings of Magen Avos, Magen Avraham, Atah Gibor, Atah Kadosh, the blessing of Mekadesh HaShabbos. So that's kind of a repetition of the Shemona Esrei of Ma'ariv. Yeah. It's a hard question, but I would say for women that it would be better to daven at home with more kavanah than to come to shul. And the reason I say that is because although tefillah b'tzibur is desirable, it's not clear that women have a chiyuv, have an obligation of tefillah b'tzibur. Therefore, the kavanah would be more important. Now, the Vilna Gaon writes in a letter, you know, he wanted to make aliyah. And he wrote a letter. He never made the trip, but he wrote a letter telling his wife, never go to shul, he told her, because in shul you'll just have lashon hara. And he was very negative about it. He said, don't go to shul, better to be home and everything else. So there is that idea. Again, these are all arguments. The Magen Avraham says women are obligated, but many opinions exempt them. So these are things that one tries to do, but the obligations are not clear obligations. Now, of course, Parsha Zachar, which even then, Parsha Zachar, the Sefer HaChinuch says women are exempt, but we Paskin women have to hear the Parsha Zachar, so that they would have to hear.
If you're at the point that you're just hearing Kedusha, then you can answer the Kedusha, and then is it preferable to hear Tfilat HaTzibur? Or is it preferable at that point to go back and then start?
So this is where you would have a difference between the briskers and everybody else. According to Rav Soloveitchik's view, you should not use the repetition of the Shemona Esrei for makeup for that reason. However, the prevailing custom is not in accordance with his view, and as long as there's a minion of people who are answering Amen, you would be allowed to use it for ketchup. So I know. So it depends. So if you have that brisker tradition, you would not. But the custom is not to be strict in that way.
So you would say that if you know that you're running late, that it's better to daven up to the point of Shemona Esrei. If you know that you can arrive at for Shemona Esrei, it's better to get your davening up to Shemona Esrei so that when you come in, you can be with the kahal for Shemona Esrei.
Can you talk in between? It's what
bothers. Well, you can't talk. You know, you
have to. Well, it depends where you are.
Depends
right?
Where you are.
If you go up to you.
I would tell you go up to Yishtabach. Yishtabach. That's good. That's very good. Yeah, that's very good.
Go up to Yishtabach. Yeah.
I wouldn't enter the breakfast of Shema because at that point you get
to go up to Yishtabach and then go and then daven.
That's very good. Yeah.
Okay, but if you're not on Shemus Madriga and you arrive, you know, having not davened, and you say Shemona Esrei with the kahal.
Yep.
Okay, so then you clearly can go back and say Birchas HaShachar and Birchas HaTorah.
Well, Birchas HaTorah. You didn't say Abba Rab. Okay. Yeah. So Birchas HaShachar, Birchas HaTorah.
Can you then say the Shema and the Brachas, you know, before and after?
I would tell you not to say the blessings of the Shema. I would just tell you to say the Shema.
Just say Shema.
I would say the three parshiyos of Shema, but do not say the blessings of the Shema. If you're going backwards, because the blessings of Shema, once again, are designed... Actually, I didn't get to that section of that. But the blessings of Shema are, once again, designed to be a precursor to Shemona Esrei, and you do not say them if you're making them up later. But that gets me to the next section. Okay. See, again, just to keep people in mind where we're going, this is a complicated matter. So far we've looked at two segments. We looked at what you might call the preliminary service. That's the blessings of the Torah, blessings of the morning, Asher Yatzah, right? That's the preliminary service. Then we looked at a block that is called Psukei Dezimra, the hymns of praise. And they go from Baruch Sha'amar till the end of Yishtabach. That's one unit. and that includes Nishmas on Shabbos. That's Pesukei DeZimra. Okay. We now enter a new... See, it's very interesting because Chazanim are very often switched, Yishtabach, but really Yishtabach belongs to the old thing. Yishtabach is Pesukei DeZimra. After Yishtabach, we have a new service that begins, and the new service that begins is now called Kriyashma and its blessings. We're not at the Shemon Esrei yet. We have Kriyashma and the blessings before the Shema. And here, Shabbos and weekday is fundamentally the same, although on Shabbos a certain amount of material is added to the first blessing before the Shema, but essentially it's a blessing. And Kriyashma is prefaced by two blessings before it. Of course, a blessing could be very long, as you'll see, and one blessing after it, which is also very long. The blessing number one before the Shema begins with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Yotzer, or the Creator of Lights. And that's a long blessing that goes all the way to Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer HaMeoros. That's one blessing. Kadosh, 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 and Shabbos Kel Adon. All of that is one blessing. It begins with Yotzer Or, and it ends with Yotzer HaMeoros. That is called, as you would expect, a Bracha Arucha, a long blessing. One reason is because it's long, and the other reason is because it's a double baruch. It begins with a baruch and it ends with a baruch, as opposed to, you know, a blessing only has one baruch. Now, the second blessing before the Shema is the blessing of Ahava Rabbah. Now, if you think about this, there is a symmetry here, because the theme of the first blessing before Shema is God's kindness in creating the natural worlds. We talk about light and darkness and the sun and the moon, right? It is a praise of God for the light of nature that He's given us. And the second blessing, Ahava Rabbah, is a praise to God for the spiritual light that He's given us. And that is the light of the Torah. Okay, so Yotz, and on Shabbos, basically, we just add some extra material, but that is all added to the first bracha of Yotzer Or. Those are the two blessings before the Shema. Then we have the three paragraphs of the Shema. And of course, Kadosh, 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 etc. is just talking about how the angels praise God as well. But that's all part of the first blessing of Shema.
So that ends with Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh. No. The first blessing ends with Yotzer. See, this is why typefaces are very misleading. The first blessing begins with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech. It ends with Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer HaMeoros. Now, even if the Chazan interrupts five or six times by saying things in the middle, that is all one long bracha. That is one bracha. That's one bracha. That's one bracha. That's why it's called a long bracha. Right? The next bracha is Ahava Rabbah, which is God's love for the Torah. In other words, the great love that God showed us by giving us the Torah. That is called a bracha ketzara, a short bracha. Not because it's so short, but primarily because it only has one Baruch Atah Hashem. It doesn't have it at the very end. Now, those are called... Sure you do. You say Avas Olam, but you say... What do you mean you do? Okay, I'm not describing what women do yet, though. I'm looking at the Siddur. I'm not describing what women do. Now, after the three paragraphs of Shema, we have something beginning MS, or MS is the last word of Shema, really, but V'yatziv v'nachon, that God's words are constant, etc. Now, that begins the after bracha, and that goes all the way till Baruch Atah Hashem Go'al Yisrael. That's one bracha from Vayatziv to Go'al Yisrael. So as Rashi was saying, there was not a separate prayer. It's Go'al Yisrael. Michamocha Go'al Yisrael. That is one bracha. So as the Mishnah says, in the morning there are two blessings before the Shema, and there is one blessing after the Shema. Right. And the blessing after the Shema is called the Birchas HaGa'ula, the blessing of God's redemption. Now, there is a principle, as you know, that Shemona Esrei normally must be begun immediately after you recite Go'al Yisrael. This is called the mitzvah of connecting geula, God's redemption, to prayer, to tefillah. And that's why one is not allowed to answer amen at all. That's why even the chazan, when the chazan says, Baruch ato Hashem go'al Yisrael, it's customary for the chazan to say go'al Yisrael in a low voice, because if he were to say it in a louder voice, you might have to answer amen, and you would be between Goel Yisrael and Shemona Esrei, and you're not allowed to answer amen, so the chazan says it in a low voice. Technically, the chazan should say it in a loud voice, and everybody should be saying it with the chazan, and that way there's no amen that you answer. Now, so collectively, this is called Kriya Shema, which is the centerpiece, and the blessings before the Shema. Now, does a woman have an obligation in that piece of the pie? So ironically, although for a man this is extremely mandatory, this is a part of tefillah that a woman is totally exempt from. In other words, if you have to cut, in a way, this is easier to cut than Psukei Dezimra, than Birchas HaShachar, and that is Kriya Shema and its blessings. Women are clearly exempt from, and the reason that is so is Kriya Shema is a time-bound commandment. And although for prayer we say women need mercy like everyone else, so prayer is not subject to the exception, to the rule rather, but Kriya Shema and the blessings are. And therefore, although a man would not be allowed, if I walk in late and they're davening Shemona Esrei, I'm not allowed to start davening Shemona Esrei until I recite Kriya Shema and the blessings, a woman can absolutely come in and start davening Shemona Esrei. However, as you would expect, although it's not mandatory, and this is, by the way, this is true on Shabbos and the week. However, because of the idea of connecting Geula l'tefillah, it is proper, as it were, to precede Shemona Esrei with the blessings. But I want to emphasize that this unit is not subject to any type of skipping or dilution, meaning if you have time for only one blessing, you can't just say Ezras Avoseinu, or you can't just say Yotzer Or, you have to say the whole thing. But if you cannot say the whole thing, you skip it. And the only thing you can make up later is you can make up the Shema later, but you cannot make up the blessings of the Shema. You can't say after Shemona Esrei, you can't say Yotzer Or, you can't say, because the blessings of the Shema can only be said when they're recited before the Shemona Esrei, not afterwards.
When you can say Shema separately.
You can always say Shema separately.
Separately. So there's not a problem. I mean, when you're going back, you can say Shema.
But you can't say the brachos.
But you can't say the brachos.
Cannot say the brachos. Okay? Well, now, women don't have to say the Shema separately later. It is customary that a woman should say at least the first pasuk of Shema every day, whenever she says it, simply because that's accepting God's unity. But the obligation of the recitation of the Shema is not an obligation on women. That's the one thing that women are clearly exempt from. Everything else, there's some shaila.
So when you're doing your basic minimum, when you're doing your basic minimum, and you then it's Baruch Shamar, if you don't have time, the hierarchy of importance, it is more important to say Baruch Shamar.
That's correct.
Tehillah.
That's correct.
And Shabbat and Shemona Esrei.
That's right.
That's funny because if you ask most students, even today, any of your students,
well, because for men, because for men, it's the opposite. For men, the Shema is more important.
But every day, but they don't have the time.
Yeah.
It is better to do not the Shema, to do the brachot.
Yes.
And to go on with.
Yes, I would just add that you should say the first pasuk of Shema every day.
Okay.
The first pasuk, just. Yep, that's correct. That's what I'm saying.
What about
now, that's a different thing. Kriya Shema Alamita is a different institution. That is not because of the commandment of the Shema. That's just to ask God for protection when you go to sleep, so that women and men are the same.
But not obligated, you told us once.
No, it's not an obligation anyway, but the custom is that they would do it the same as men, yeah.
No, but you said that is not necessarily an obligation. You say, is it an obligation, the Kriya Shema?
It's not an absolute obligation.
It's not an absolute obligation.
It's not an absolute obligation for anybody, but it's a proper thing to do.
Let's say you come late. Can you say the Shema from the beginning of the...
Sure, you know, sure. That would
so
be just
so that you can get it in the right time.
Right, right. And then you could go to Shemona Esrei, yeah. Well, the Baruch Shema, you know.
But you can just stick it in from after Baruch Shema and just say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem.
Well, you shouldn't stick it in between Baruch Shema and Yishtabach because you're not supposed to.
No, after Yishtabach.
Yeah, after Yishtabach, right.
You can just say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad.
That's correct. That's correct.
Now, a woman can say Shema not in the right time.
A woman can say the Shema.
With the brachos?
No. But a woman can say the Shema. Just as a man can, just to say the Shema, even if you miss. A woman does not have to make Kriya Shema in the right time, even if she wants to say the Shema.
If you just say the first pasuk, you get the protection.
That would all you have to say. Now again, you understand. I don't want to disparage the idea of trying to daven whatever one can daven. Now, every word of tefillah is very precious. And very important. We're talking about when there's not enough time, etc. These are points in which there might be some flexibility.
Can
you
definitely one of the lessons before Shema? No.
No. That if you're going to do that section, you have to do it all. Or you can say it without Hashem's name. In other words, you can always say a prayer. If you want to say it, but you would say Hashem. You wouldn't say Hashem's name. Under those circumstances. See, it's only Psuki to Zimra where we have this idea that you can skip some of it. But the brachas of Shema, you cannot skip and delete. So I hope this makes some sense. I know there's so many permutations that it might be hard. All right. Oh, one thing. Now we come, of course, to Shemona Esrei. All right. Now, the next section after Birchas Kriya Shema is... Right. The next section after Birchas Kriya Shema is, of course, the Shemona Esrei itself. Shemona Esrei, of course, is, although according to the Rambam, a woman wouldn't have to daven, but if you're davening one thing in Shul, the Shemona Esrei would be the thing that you aim for. Lechatchila, one tries to daven it with the congregation as well. If there's a choice between Shachris and Musaf Shemona Esrei, it's better to daven Shachris rather than Musaf.
With and the congregation or period?
Period, generally speaking. Shachris is a clearer obligation than Musaf. If you have to make choices, as it were. There is a whole interesting discussion. If the congregation is davening Musaf, should I daven Musaf? It's true with the man also. Should I daven Musaf or daven Shachris? Because on one hand, if I daven the different prayer, am I fulfilling my mitzvah of davening with the congregation? But we say you should daven Shachris. That's even true for a man. Now,
so if you come in at Musaf time and they're at Shemona Esrei,
you should daven
you go
Shachris.
Back to the Shachris.
That's correct.
Answer to Musaf.
That you answer the Kedusha of Musaf. Yeah. Yeah, the Kedusha you answer to whatever they're doing. That's right. Now, we discussed earlier today already about answering Kedusha in the middle of Shemona Esrei and be aware of that. Now, let me just make one point about Torah reading. Yeah. This is a very big issue. Then we have Torah reading, and they're reading the Torah, and very often people will use Kriyas HaTorah as a time to make up their davening. There is some support for that practice, but it's not the most advisable thing, because there are some opinions that say a woman is obligated to hear the Torah reading every Shabbos. And if that is so, you should not use the Torah reading to make up your davening, rather you should... No, Torah reading, I said, Torah reading. Yeah, and therefore, between the aliyos, you can daven, but once they start reading the Torah, it would be better for you to follow along. So that's something to be aware of. And although that means you'd have to daven when the rabbi is speaking, but that would be the choice there.
Rabbi Radowitz, two questions. Is that obligation to hear the Torah reading only on Shabbos, that opinion? Or does that refer to the Monday and Thursday Torah readings also?
It seems to be only on Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Okay, and the other question is, I mean, from what I've studied, there is an obligation to stand during the first bracha that the man makes on Birchat HaTorah. And so that if there is that obligation to stand, obviously there's an obligation to pay attention that when the Birchot HaTorah being made. So the only time really that you should be making it up, I would assume, is when they're making the Mishaberach and not during the Birchot HaTorah.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, between the end of the blessing and the time the next person starts the blessing. Yeah. Okay, the Haftarah should be the same thing. One should listen to the Haftarah
the
as well.
Haftarah is just
yeah,
as apt.
But I will tell you that for Haftarah, there is a leniency because, you know, if, for example, if you know, in many Hasidic shuls, the Haftarah is not even read aloud by the person. Everybody reads it to themselves. So with the Haftarah, you would be permitted to read the Haftarah later by yourself. So you'd be allowed to dive in there.
What about when they're taking out the Torah and the Aaron Kodesh is open? Are you allowed to catch up then?
Yeah, you are. You are. That's all right. So it's only during the Torah reading itself.
You don't have to stop to say Shema Yisrael when the Kahal says Shema
Yisrael. Well, yes, you should. In other words, that's generally speaking, whenever this congregation says Shema, and that's true whether it's the Shema in the Korbanos, or it's the Shema in the Davening, or it's the Shema in the... Uh-huh. You always do, except when you're Davening Shema Nesrei itself, you always just say Shema Yisrael. That you would stop.
You could stop. You stop in the middle of a Pasuk, or you anything? Can you stop in Yishtabach or Baruch Shemar? Can you stop in the middle of a Pasuk?
Well, you finish the Pasuk and then do it. Yeah.
And then say Shema.
The only time you don't answer is, of course, if you're in Shema Nesrei. You don't uh-huh. you don't answer Shema.
But you listen.
It depends. Yishtabach, yishtabach, you stand up. Birchas Hashachar, most people stand, but you could sit if it's difficult. It's not an absolute obligation.
So when do you have absolutely to stand?
Shemon Esrei.
Baruch
Shemon Esrei. The only when the Torah, you know, when the Torah is.
But customarily.
It's interesting, you know, when the Aron HaKodesh is open.
Oh, of course.
Under halacha, you're not obligated to stand when the Aron is open. You're obligated to stand only when the Torah is taken out of the Aron and it's being carried. And that is our custom. Is we stand up whenever the Aron is open, but that's why for Ne'ilah, where the Aron is open the whole time, we say people are weak, they're allowed to sit. Because technically,
true.
You see, the Aron HaKodesh is treated as a separate room. And therefore the Torah is in another room. It's only when the Torah is being carried that one has to stand up.
And the preliminary and all of that, when is it obligatory to stand up?
It's not really obligatory to stand up for any
of
the preliminary.
On any of them?
No. Baruch Shamar you stand up for. Baruch Sha'amar, Yishtabach, you stand up for. Az Yashir, Vayivarech Dov. If you look in Pesukim Zimra, there are points you stand up for. But you don't have to stand up for Birchas HaShachar or Birchas HaTorah.
You don't have to stand up for. This I had learned that you have to learn is that I was given a psak that you have to stand up for the first of Birchas HaTorah.
No, we're getting confused.
Oh, the Birchas HaTorah in the morning.
I'm talking about Birchas HaTorah in the morning, not the Aliyah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's true for Aleinu, and it's certainly true for Baruch Hu Kaddish, you're supposed to stand up for. It depends. For some of the other things, Mizmor L'Sof, I mean, there might be short, very short things. People just stand up and sit down. You don't have to necessarily
get up. To show that you're with the Kahal, even though you're not with them in the Siddur, but you're with them in the idea of Tfilah.
Well, it makes sense. I don't know. I wouldn't say you're obligated, but it makes sense not to separate yourself from the Siddur. Let me just mention one thing about the stuff after davening, after Shemon Esrei. We have Ein Kelokeinu, etc., right? Those things. Once again, they're in the Siddur, you're in Shul. You might as well say them. But in terms of an obligation, a woman would not be obligated to say Ein Kelokeinu Anim Zemiros. But Aleinu L'Shabeach, which, by the way, is taken from the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. It's not, you know, people think, oh gee, we put into Rosh Hashanah davening the Aleinu of every day. It's the opposite. Aleinu was written for the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. It was also a song of martyrdom. Aleinu, in the Middle Ages, when Jews were killed in the Crusades and the like, they would talk about the privilege that God gave them to serve Hashem. And Aleinu is a very, very important tefillah. And in fact, even if you've davened already, if I walk into a minyan, I have davens. And when they're saying Aleinu, the halacha is, I am supposed to say Aleinu.
Even second time?
Yeah, third time, fourth time.
Even our optimal minimal, if we get to our optimum of our minimum, is Aleinu in the optimum, or no, just Shmona Esrei and then finish?
No, I wouldn't say, Aleinu I would not say is a minimum, but certainly it's, if you're, you know, Aleinu is something that one should say when one concludes a tefillah, the end of a Shmona Esrei or whatever it is. But the point is, if you're in a minyan that's saying Aleinu, you're obligated to say Aleinu. That's an obligation. You say it again, even again. Shir shel, well, again, you know, these are things that don't take that long to do. You should say them, but it wouldn't be an obligation. It's not. You know, it's very hard to say. You know, it's not as absolutely required as the other things. Right. The Gemara makes a statement that one should try to say Ashrei. These are general statements. One should try to say Ashrei three times a day, and one becomes a Ben Olam Haba. One gets the world to come. Now, the three times in the normal Seder of davening would be the Ashrei in Pesukei de Zimra, the Ashrei after Shachris, and the Ashrei of Mincha. So you have the Ashrei three times a day. It's a good thing to do. But it's not expressed. Yeah, but it's not expressed as an obligation, per se. These are already, in other words, if you're adding, if you're able to do it, if you're able to do it, but it's not an obligation.
It doesn't count as the
two
times that we are
getting out of
our
abundance.
This is an easy way to get it down.
You mean the Ashrei beforehand?
Yeah,
that Ashrei counts, sure. That Ashrei is one of the three.
But
it's in the Siddur. No, that's not Ashrei. No. The idea of Ashrei Olam Yad Olam Baz without a vol is even without a vol etzion. Yeah, Ashrei is a separate thing. That's just Ashrei. So these are things. In other words, anything beyond these minimums, we're back to the idea of anyone who adds is doing better. You know, is good, but it's beyond the core of what is obligated. Tachanun is not an obligation for women, for example, but a woman can say it. So
can a woman do Tachanun without a minion? Is it? I mean, in the yeshiva, sure. We don't do Tachanun. Is it preferable that we do?
Well, you don't say. The halacha is you have a sefer Torah there, right?
No.
The halacha is without a sefer Torah, you don't put your, you know, you don't lay yourself down. But you could say tachanun.
And the other question, according to the Ramban, a woman has a chiyuv of Shmoneh Esrei.
Yeah.
According to that chiyuv, when you talk about the minimums, the basic minimum, according to the Ramban's theory, but would he say only Shmoneh Esrei is the chiyuv? Not all the other basic minimums that we said.
It's only Shmoneh Esrei. It's very precisely.
Right. But you know, that we're not. We're posek that it's better to the other brachos first. If you can't do Shmoneh Esrei.
That's right. Because of the Rambam's opinion.
And in terms of the layman, yeah. Seems to indicate that it's very important that you're not doing anything. You know, say you're trying to catch up. You're still trying to catch up or something.
Well, now this depends. Now this depends, though. See, Aleinu, although one should say Aleinu with the congregation, but if they're saying Aleinu at a time when you're not allowed to interrupt, in other words, it isn't like Kaddish or Kedusha. So if you're in the middle of the blessings of Shema, or you're in the middle of Pesukei de Zimra, you do not say Aleinu at that point, but you'll stand up and do what you're saying. In other words, Aleinu is not something for which you would interrupt in a point in which you don't speak. But if you're at a point in which you're allowed to talk, then you have to say Aleinu. So Aleinu is somewhat in between. It's not like the Kaddish or the Kedusha or the Baruch. Some say, by the way, the same rule applies to Ashrei. That if I walk into Shul and they're just saying Ashrei, I should say Ashrei with the congregation. I should treat it that way. Yep. All right, well, I'm not sure if I made things more complicated or a little easier. I'm not sure. Okay. Remember, next week, I'm not going to be here, so we'll meet in 2 weeks.
And then the week after that is Shir Shira?
Next week, maybe the week after we'll do Shir Shira for a few weeks.
You know, I think it's very important. I think that most young women do not know today. I mean, I'm glad about Shmoneh Esrei. I think, in schools, they don't know. period.
Well, I don't want to, you know, teach people how to cut corners.
No, but you know, I think it's important when you come in late. But you know, and most of the young women do come in late on Thursday.